First of all, I am extremely nervous. I don't know why, but I just pray that my message tonight really, or God's message tonight really, hits you guys and just shows you what He has in store for you. Before that, let's just bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that as I speak tonight, that You'd speak through me, Lord, that everything prepared, Lord, would just speak to you, everybody tonight, Lord, and everybody will come out realizing what You've got in store for each and every one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so before I get started, how I was put on the ministry timetable, at the start of the year, Shads came up and he's like, would you like to take a message? I'm like, yeah, I'm down, maybe one here every few months. And then the first timetable, ministry timetable came out and I see my name. I'm like, oh no, here we go. I'm going to have to speak. I don't know what to speak about. I don't know what I'm going to do. And it's just, everything's everywhere. Until I actually thought about it and sat down, where I realized what I went through should be something to be shared. And what God put me through should be something that that you guys will go through, maybe not exactly the same, but you'll understand in a moment. So I'm going to start with a personal story. Let me take you back 2 years when I was still in school. So it was time where I had to put my preferences, you know, VCE preference, uni preferences, sorry. We've got 17 preferences. I'm like, oh, so many I can choose, but what I wanted to do was IT. I had this plan set in my mind. I'm like, I'm doing IT, I'm going to finish it, have a business, and just everything's going to be sorted out from then. So I had my preferences, and then I'm like, well, should I put a plan B in my preferences just in case my ATAR isn't good enough or I don't get what I want? So then I was fleeing through the VTAC book. I found a few teaching courses and chucked them down the bottom. I found the photography course that I did last year and I chucked that down. That photography course, Mum actually found and she's like, oh yeah, you should chuck it down. It's something you enjoy doing and something that, you know, could be a plan B instead of IT. So anyway, I chucked it down. Preferences were set. Everything's paid for. And then come open day time, I went to RMIT to check out their IT section. And when I was there, I felt like God was telling me, this is where you're gonna study. Or I felt comfortable in that place. I don't know how, maybe you feel it. It's like when you go home, you're comfortable. It's your own bed. You sleep there. You're comfortable there. But I felt the same thing. RMIT, I felt comfortable. I'm like, yeah, this seems like a good environment. I was happy with it. And I like the place. I also went to the other open days, but nothing really stood out. And that was open day. But then come exams time, throughout the year, I was slacking off. I'm like, yeah, I'll catch up. Yeah, this exam will be fine. Oh, it's further, you know, doesn't matter. But then my exams I hit rock bottom at that time. My exams were absolute rubbish. I remember my morning of methods exam, I'm going, I did not care whatsoever. I'm like, look, if I fail, I fail. I had that attitude. I did not care about my methods exam. Don't do this. You should study. My exams were terrible, my SACs were terrible, my ATAR wasn't what I wanted. I'm like, so it's going to have to be plan B, it's going to be photography. And how I got into photography was because of a folio. My media folio at school was good, and that's how I got in. So I did photography for a year. I felt like God took me through that year. I was happy with it. I didn't regret the doing a year of photography outside of what I wanted to do was a great year. I got great experience. But then once the year ended, I'm like, I don't want to keep studying this. If I looked at it career-wise and I felt IT was still better, and other reasons, if you want to know, just come speak to me after. But yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to study photography for another 2 years and then just have a degree in photography. I wanted IT, like from the start, from when I wanted to have a year 12. So I applied again through VTAC. I went through the whole offer process again, 17 preferences, except this time I only put two down. I put IT at RMIT and I put IT at Deakin. And I'm like, yeah, you know that feeling that I had? I was so happy at RMIT, I'm gonna get it. So I wake up, round one offer, and I'm like, I'm getting IT, I'm 100% sure this is mine. I log in and it's like, you gotta wait till 3. I'm like, oh, all right, whatever, I'll wait till 3. Waited till 3, I logged in and it's like, you don't have any offers sent to you. I'm like, well, why God? I've been praying for this. I felt like that was a great place for me. What am I gonna do now? And I think I was probably depressed for a week. I sat in bed most of the time. I didn't care what was going on around. And I'm just like, nah, whatever, stuff it. And then, some of you may know, we have a leaders conversation on Facebook that we just organize and muck around in. And all the leaders just kept encouraging me and they said, you know, don't give up. There's still round two to come. So yeah, that got me up a bit and I'm like, yeah, there's hope. I might get an offer in round two. Round two comes and I get nothing again. And by that time, I think I was crying in bed for like two nights. I'm like, that's it. I gave up. I seriously gave up at that time. I'm like, I'm not going to study. I'm going to take a gap year, work or something. Or if I don't find work, I'm going to stay at home. I did not care. So at that time, Mum called me from work one time. And she's like, hey, check out Chisholm. In Dandy, they've got an IT course that leads to a bachelor. And they got like a partnership with La Trobe. So I'm like, look, I kind of don't care anymore. But I ended up doing it just to please Mum. Like, look, you called, you did all the hard work. I'm just going to do it. So I ended up calling. I booked an interview and like went through all that process. And then the day of the interview I went and I actually liked what they said. It was what I wanted to do. And I think that's what grabbed me in. And that's why I signed into the IT course. So then the interview finished and I called Mom and he's like, hey, I'm going to enroll today. That was all within 2 days. She called me say Tuesday and then, the info session was on Thursday. I went on Thursday. I'm like, Mom, I'm enrolling. I'm happy with this. I'm going to go through with it. I'm not going to take photography. And yeah, that's it. So now I'm doing the IT. I've been in it for 2 months now, whatever, Feb and a bit. And I'm really enjoying it. I just submitted a few assignments and it's all going very nice. But as of now, I don't know what's to come. I don't know what's going to happen next. I know I'm going to keep going IT, but I don't know how I'm going to finish my career. I don't know how I'm going to start this career. I don't know what uni I'm going to, whether I'll keep going to La Trobe or switch or whether I don't know where God wants me to go. And that's what I want to get through to you guys today is that we don't know what God's plan is. God is omnipresent. He's without time. He's everywhere. He can travel the timeline, basically. He can see the future. He knows where and when and what you're going to do at what, when and where every moment of the time. He knows everything about you. But see, I don't want to discourage you guys with this story that I don't know where I'm going, because all of you maybe won't know what or where or where you'll be after uni, after year 12, after you do your preferences. I don't want to discourage you by that, but just let God take control. And if we can open Proverbs 16:3. Come on, Chase.
What is it?
Proverbs.
Yeah.
16:3.
I don't know how you do this every week. Then.
There we go. So it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. I think as I was preparing for this message, I got all my answers of that story. All the hard time I went through, all the crap I went through. I think all the verses that I got as I was preparing the message, I think God gave me those answers. Like, my prayers were answered now. Now I know why I went through all this. Now I know why He put me through all that. It's not because I wasn't good enough to make IT from after year 12 straight away, but it was because it was His plan. He wanted me to do this. Maybe my career will be photography in the end. I don't know that. But His plan is always best for us. I think most of the time we overlook His plan. We always try what we want to do. So I'll give you an example from the Old Testament, just so you see it does happen in the Bible. It's not just me saying this. And it goes through Joseph. I'll quickly summarize. So Joseph as a kid, we knew he was thrown in a well by his brothers. He was the favorite son of the dad. And then they sold him into slavery, which led him going to Egypt. And him being in Egypt, he became the king's secondhand man, basically. Until Potiphar's wife tried to sleep with him, and she tried to take him away from the king, and he was thrown in prison. Then fast forward a few years, he's out of prison, and again he's the king's most trusted advisor, and all the famine that happened, that was it was all Joseph that basically saved Egypt in that time. And it says there was a great famine that countries from around Egypt were all going to Egypt to get food. Egypt was very wealthy at the time. They had all the supplies, all the food, everything they needed, and that's why everybody was coming. But then I said this story because I want you to see the timeline. You look at Joseph when he was a kid, when he was thrown in the well, when he was sold into slavery. I think if I was Joseph at that time, I would have given up. I'm thrown in a well. I'm sold into slavery by my brothers, and I've got nowhere to go. But God's plan was always greater. God's plan was always something that could achieve greatness. It's something that we always overlook. As well as the story of Jesus. I think Jesus is the only character in the Bible that knew everything that was going to happen to him. He knew from day one what was going to happen, what he was going to do, how he was going to die, and when he rises again. So we know from the Bible that Jesus ministered for 3 years. So if we look at it, what if he ministered for the other 30? He got killed after 3 years. He was crucified. But then look at him the previous 30 years that he lived. Yeah, he was going around talking to the teachers of the book, and he was always like arguing with them and just going around. But then it was those last 3 years of his life that he actually went full out. He took this ministry on and he got killed for it. He was crucified for it, for us. He died for us. And again, I point out the time. The time from when Jesus was born to the time till he died. That's 33 years. I don't think any of us here are 30, or I don't know, but like, imagine your life with 30 years. Do you know where you'll be 5-10 years from now? Do you know exactly what you're gonna do? And that's what I really try to get through. So if we open up Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So again, God knows where you're going to be, what you're going to do, every place, every time. It's his plan that's greater than yours. However long you're going to plan, I'm sorry girls for using girls as an example, but you know, all the fantasy little girls like, oh, plan my wedding, who's my husband, who's my bachelor party, and all that. But is it true? So yeah, like, it's always stuff that we imagine. It's always stuff that that we think is best for us. But then once we actually start putting God into this, we realize how much greater his plan is. We realize how much better it is. If we can open Isaiah 55:8-9. So these two verses, I think, best sum up what was just said. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's basically what I've been saying. Maybe I should have just said this Bible verse instead of 10. But look, I'm almost done. I've got a couple more things to go. They're very quick. But I'm just going to read this thing out. Again, some of you may know, a group of us have a group conversation. And last year's year 12, as they were getting their ATARs, Lydia sent this. I do have permission to share it. So yeah, Lydia said this. And I quote, I hope everyone got the ATAR they wanted. And if you didn't, don't worry. It's not the end of the world. Your life is in God's hands. And then in brackets, she said, I don't know about you, but that's going to get you further than any ATAR ever can. I read that and I'm like, why didn't you send that a year earlier? And then she shared Psalm 22:4. Says in our ancestors, or in another translation, it says, in our fathers trusted in you, they trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and you were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. And it's our trust that we put in God is what really counts. Our trust in God is basically telling us your plan is greater. It's telling us that, you know, just take it all. Yeah, he's got everything sorted out for us. It's just we need to believe that his plan is greater. So, last two things. I said this in my last message. You can listen to it on the podcast if you want. And I said God is faithful. That was those three words came from my Thailand mission trip, which you will hear about soon in a series we will do with mission trips. Spoiler. But those three words stood out to me, and a few of you guys actually came back to me. It's like those words stuck with me as well. And I'm glad those three words stuck. If anything is going to stick tonight, God is faithful. He will never let you down. Again, going back to my story in the start, I was broken. I was just... I hit rock bottom, but once I realized God is on my side, I never really doubted him. Or if you don't like God is faithful and you were at the Crossway Christmas production, they said a phrase I really liked. He sees, he hears, he knows, he cares. So again, I don't want to discourage you with my story and whatever happened, but I want to encourage you with this, and I think we all saw it coming, Jeremiah 29:11. I can. That's NIV. I like the Nick Jiff translation, New King James. Because in NIV it says, "For I know the plans," but in the New King James it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and hope." And I just want to leave it there. What are you going to do with your plan? Are you planning your life yourself? Just as we saw at that video, are you living for that red part? Or are you living for the whole white rope? So I want to encourage you with that. Well, what are you living for? What's your plan after tonight? So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that your plan, Lord, would just be set for all of us now, Lord, that we realize it's the greater plan. We realize it's the best plan for us, Lord. It's a plan that will never fail. And I pray, Lord, that we live our lives, Lord, for the whole white rope, not just that red part that we saw at the start. I pray for the rest of our night and the mentor groups, Lord, that you just, if there's any question that be answered, Lord, and if there's anything that needs to be talked about, that you just show it to us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you very much.